The following is a special ESPN 1000 presentation.
Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night. And a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam.
The Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Jonathan Hood tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Bleck. We're here till 9 o'clock this evening. We are open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776, or you can tweet at us on Twitter. We will get back to you throughout the show. Jonathan, the NBA draft was last night. We are here to break down everything we saw at the Advocate Center and kind of look into the future for the Chicago Bulls.
Interesting night for the NBA draft, and especially the Chicago Bulls, because the Bulls, what it really comes down to, Chris, is their core. But also, it comes down to two picks that they made in the first round. Can they pay dividends, or are they just pieces? We're going to find out in a couple years whether or not the two choices that they made are choices that can really help the Bulls in the short term.
So a couple of things that we're going to do tonight. At 8 o'clock, we will hear from John Paxson and Gar Foreman. Last night, Jonathan and I and Nick Friedell got a chance to speak with both. We will hear those interviews at 8 o'clock in case you missed it last night. We will do that at 8. At 7:30, we will hear from Jesse Rogers. He has live updates at 7:30 and 8:30, live from Cincinnati. So we have our eyes on the Cubs and the Reds right now. So if anything happens, we'll let you know. But as we hang out with you tonight, we're going to talk basketball and a lot going on today, because as the NBA draft kind of shuffles and we kind of take a look back at last night, Jonathan, with the two picks that the Bulls got, I think the initial thing that a lot of people throughout the day kind of woke up with the mindset of, well, that was safe. We kind of just did what was in front of us, and that's what we have. It was expected of the Chicago Bulls to make the two picks that they made at 7-22 last night. Nothing shocking, nothing surprising. Ho-hum for the Chicago Bulls. But I think you and I kind of have a different viewpoint of this, where even though it's safe and even though that's what we expected, it could still be a positive thing in the future for the Chicago Bulls.
Well, I would prefer safe than suck.
Well, right.
Because that's the whole, my whole point is this, is that I've been hearing this all day about, and we heard this last night in the press conference about how, well, the Bulls just played it safe. Well, what you don't criticize what you perceive as safe. Criticize what is a risk. See, I don't think that Wendell Carter Jr. is a risk to the Chicago Bulls. I think that when you take a look at a player, you know, like Michael Porter Jr., because of the medicals that we found out about him, now that would be a risk if the Bulls took him. Now, Denver took him at 14. That is a medical risk. But the thing that really bothers me about the whole thing is that as much as I enjoy the NBA and enjoy the process of the draft, you can't find a college basketball fan that's going to break it down for you between October and March to tell you exactly what you want. But when I hear people complaining about how the Bulls didn't get the player that they want, that's really what it comes down to. I read about this player, and this is the player I want. They didn't get the player I want? Okay, well, the Bulls suck. That's not what it's about, Chris.
Right.
It's not about that. Like, well, because you didn't watch all season, and now you're going to tell us that you're a draft expert on exactly what you want. I mean, listen, here's what it comes down to. You had a choice in this draft. You wanted to get someone that's long and athletic, like Bamba, like Jaren Jackson, like Doncic, like Bagley, like Ayton. All you have here now at 7 is either Carter or Michael Porter Jr. They chose Carter, and that's the end of it.
And it's a move that you pair him with Lauri Markkanen, and that's something that we heard last night from both, and we'll hear it again when we hear from John Paxson and Gar Foreman, that clearly the angle and the direction of the franchise is turning Markkanen into a star, because both picks that were taken last night are to be complementary pieces to what you have in Lowry Marketing. Now, that might enter a whole nother piece of conversation where, is that a number one for a team that's going to compete for championships?
Right.
I think most Bulls fans today would say probably no. And I don't think that that's a negative slant on the situation. I think that's realistic. Can we hope for him to be a number one and a superstar player? Sure. Absolutely. But he's got a long way to go to get to that point. He's not Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Donovan Mitchell took over games in the playoffs this season as a rookie. That guy, that's going to be a superstar. We are unsure about Lowry Markkanen. So the thing that I know about the safe picks that were taken last night is these two guys, they're going to work well with what the Bulls already have.
Yeah.
Now, that takes the conversation to a new point, Jonathan, and what the Bulls have right now, what are they going for in the next year? What will the progress of this team with this franchise be over the course of the next year? Because a year from today, looking back, the Bulls just traded Jimmy Butler, and we were told this is a rebuild.
Right.
Now they had too much talent. They got to the point where they were at 7. They take the picks that they took, and now we're looking at a team that has a lot of talent, probably could make the playoffs if we really break it down now.
So the plan to tank didn't fully work, and the Bulls went 3/4 up to the cliff and didn't take the full plunge. See, you got veteran players and young players that are going to be, you know, kind of propel this Bulls team into the playoffs. This is why John Paxson, I'm glad he wore dark pants, because he probably would have showed something if he didn't. After I told him, like, yeah, you're going to be making the playoffs. He's like, oh, I'm making the playoffs. The look on his face when I told him, like, yeah, John, you know the Bulls are going to make the playoffs, right? And he's just like, he clearly wasn't ready for that. I didn't mean to, like, sideswipe him, Chris, but the point is, it's like, look at what you've done. And this is what you talked about before the trade deadline last year. You said, okay, if you're going to tank, if you're going to just go all the way down like Phoenix or like Brooklyn, right? And if you want to be able to start really from the ground up by utilizing young players, then you got to get rid of some of these veterans. Why was Lopez still on this team? Why were some of those veterans still on the team? It's because you were 3/4 of the way in. You weren't really into the entire rebuild. And so that was the whole issue. 3/4 of the way in is not good enough. You want to be able to go all the way in and be able to get rid of the talent that you have. That way you're young. But see, because you still have some proud veterans on this team, guys like Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine and Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez, all these guys are still on the team. You think they want to lose? They will be able to push this Bulls team into a playoff spot, especially if Paxson doesn't tinker with it.
Well, it all goes back to last summer. What teams other than the Bulls wanted Nico Mirotić? Before the season started, what was Nico doing? He was working out at the Advocate Center.
Yeah.
And no one was calling his phone.
He had a key. He kept going in there. No one told him to go up there, but he just kept working out.
Okay, so people keep pointing back to that. The Bulls getting a second-round pick, right? Okay, they got Hutchinson. Hopefully he turns out to be a better player than what you had with Mirotić. But was it worth that December that you had where in a 12-game span, you won 10 of 12? I mean, that's what it really comes down to. And I know that we're rehashing what happened over the course of last season.
But it affected last night.
Well, right. And that's why it also affects the future, because you see teams make picks in the top five who are very happy about what they got and the direction of the franchise is going in. Dallas, thrilled with the move that they made today. Who knows what Atlanta is doing with Trae Young as their centerpiece of a franchise.
Right.
Good luck to you. Ayton, the Suns, they did a really good job last night getting two guys, Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton. That's going to be a nice addition to what you already have with Booker. Now, the rest of the pieces on the Suns, who knows? But the point being is that last night and everything, Jonathan, goes back to where is this team for the future? Where are they compared to everyone else in the league? And I think if you look at the Eastern Conference, that's where we should really have the discussion tonight, because this team can make the playoffs next year. And when you said that to John Paxson, we were not joking and we were not ripping the Bulls. We were having a conversation that, like, hey, look at the talent on this roster. Justin Holiday, Robin Lopez, Markkanen, Chris Dunn. This team can compete in the Eastern Conference to make the playoffs.
But let's make sure that the point is made, though. That's not what they wanted.
Well, right.
That's not what you want to use. Like last year, and Pax was very transparent. I give him credit, because he said we really need to retool this thing after getting rid of Jimmy Butler, and we have Lowry Markkanen here. We really want to be able to be young and athletic and be able to move up. But you didn't do that fully. And that's the whole thing. Like, so instead of just ripping the team all the way down to you be in the lottery next year and the year after that to have a full tank, now you have veteran players and young players along with Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., Hutchinson, Portis, Valentine, along with these other veterans. And so now you're in a position now to get into the playoffs, and you didn't want to be 7th or 8th seed, you're going to be 7th or 8th seed again. And here's the formula, okay? Here's the formula. The Bulls want to get out of the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed neighborhood, right? They want to get out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they're going to be right back in that same neighborhood again. You know why? Because look at this. If LeBron, it's a big if because we haven't gotten there yet, but if LeBron goes to Los Angeles or anywhere in the West, the teams that will not make the playoffs, that will tank on purpose, will be Atlanta, Charlotte, Brooklyn, the Knicks, Detroit, the Heat, and of course Cleveland if LeBron's not there. Now that's 7. Now you got to figure out maybe it's a team like Washington that just hung in there with the 8th seed or whatever. Maybe it's a battle for the 7th and 8th seed toward the end because the East, especially the bottom of the East, is so bad. Because if LeBron's gone, it is a battle between Philadelphia and Boston for the top spot in the East. Right. Not even Toronto's not in that mix to me.
No.
So you have 7 teams right there, right? And there's the Bulls kind of fighting, not trying to fight, a pillow fight for the 8th spot. That's what you get right now.
You know, it reminds me of, have you seen the show Black Mirror on Netflix?
I have seen
Which is kind of like a Twilight Zone-y type of themed show, and we all know what the Twilight Zone is. Mm-hmm. That's what this whole era of Bulls basketball reminds me in, right? You do this whole elaborate rebuild to get right back to the same spot that you've always been.
Right, right, right. That's not the plan.
No. But,
and as I told you in the meeting, like, unless they look at this and say, oh, we're, you know, this has gone too fast. We need to, you know, see if we can get a deal for Lopez or Justin Holiday. If you're going to unplug it that way, now Bulls fans, they'll really be pissed off. Because
right.
If you're at a certain level where you can think you can make the playoffs and then you tear it down, I mean, like, oh, that's not what we wanted?
Yeah.
Remember,
you can't play both sides, and that's what we're looking at.
Just remember, we told him on draft night, and his face was so red, John Paxson. He looked at me like I had turds coming out of my mouth.
I know you're not going to say it, but we've said it here on the show. Because of the core that you already have in place, plus what you've done in the draft, you know this team is probably destined for the playoffs. That's probably not what you wanted, though, because you always talk about the process, right?
You guys are already touting playoffs.
You should. I mean, I wish we had video so you see his face.
Well, to paint the picture, he was looking down, holding the mic in his hand,
right,
and listening. And when you said playoffs, he shot a look up at you like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
You guys are really talking playoffs?
Look at your roster. He's got proud veterans on that roster that don't want to lose. And the point you made last night, which is it was a cogent point, is that a lot of these guys, veteran and young players, they want to get a contract.
Yeah.
So they want to show that they can play. So they can, and not necessarily a contract with Chicago, a contract someplace where they can say, yes, I was part of a situation where we got to the playoffs, so pay me for the future.
Absolutely. That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight talking about the Bulls and the NBA. Gar Forman had a chance to talk with us last night. Here's Gar on the mindset of the organization heading into this season.
At this point in a rebuild, you know, we're taking a big picture view of it. And so that's what it's about. Continuing to add young players to the core, continuing to see growth with those young players, continuing to have a level of flexibility so that when there are opportunities, we can take advantage of them. And if we do that and stay disciplined in our decision-making, you know, we think we're headed in the right direction. Now we got to keep chipping away and keep adding to it.
So that's Gar Forman from last night, Jonathan. And the one thing I want to ask you, if you want to join us at 312-332-3776, and the question really can be answered by anyone, are you happy with this rebuild to this point? I think Bulls fans could be on both sides of this. I think there are a lot of positives to the rebuild. I think there are also some negatives because you don't know who your number one player is. I think you hope it's Lauri Markkanen, but is he a go-to threat at the end of a game? Did you see him command enough at the end of games and want the ball in his hands to take over a game? And we have yet to see that as a Bulls fan. So I wonder if Bulls fans are happy with the way the rebuild has gone to this point. I know that both Gar and John told us last night that they are thrilled with the 5 core pieces that they've collected now over the span of the last year, right? And 2 picks last night, Chris Dunn, Markkanen, and LaVine. Mm-hmm. So you have five core pieces who are young, who you theoretically control based on what happens with LaVine's contract this summer. And that's what you have going forward. I wonder if Bulls fans are happy with that. If you went and told them when you had the team with Gibson and Butler and everyone that was kind of still competing, and you said, hey, we're going to tear this down, but when we start to come back up, this is what the rebuild will look like in year two.
Well, the thing is that if I was, as a Bulls fan, I would look at this and say, well, there's a lot too many question marks for me to completely buy in. Like, what's the price tag for Zach LaVine? Like, is he wants max money. He's not a max money player because he still has a lot to prove. But I know that he wants to get paid by the Bulls. Chris Dunn has got a chip on his shoulder. He told me during the time that he was drafted coming out of Providence, he says he's going to be the best guard in this draft that he came out of. We'll still see about that. You know, the question is that with this rebuild, it's not even a rebuild, Chris. It's like a build.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you didn't go all the way in to be able to just really rebuild this. And we know what that looks like, right? We've seen this with like Orlando and Brooklyn and Phoenix, where they have just leveled the franchise, where they just have very little talent, where they have young talent, but it hasn't really manifested itself yet.
I've joked about this for the last year. They did a one-month tank.
Or Sacramento.
The first month was a tank. They were 3-20. But from that point on, after the first month or so, they were a competitive team in the NBA.
Yeah.
And they lost some tough games. And, yeah, they got blown out from time to time. But they beat a lot of good teams and won a lot of games that they really shouldn't have won last season.
It took Fred to unplug it. In that Portland game,
you remember
the Bulls were going to win that game, and he sat two veterans. I believe Lopez was one of them.
Yeah,
and he brought in two kids. They lost that game. That was a game they were going to win. It was getting too fast for Fred Hoiberg. He benched two veterans, never brought them back in overtime, and the Bulls lost that game. That is a tank game that I circled on the roster.
Well, you know, and you tank that one game, and you tank a few others, but for all intents and purposes, it was a pretty decent team for the talent level that they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, all things considering, it was a pretty successful season. You beat your wins total that everyone projected, Vegas and the RPI from ESPN. Everyone assumed you'd be, like, 20 wins, 18 wins. No, you outperformed that big time. You, in fact, outperformed that so much that you had the seventh pick. A pick that we all looked the day after and say, well, that was safe.
Right,
you know, exactly, like right. A first round lottery pick, you should be like, wow, this is the guy. This is the next guy for the generation.
People just want to bitch because they want to bitch about the Bulls. And I think that the criticism a lot for the Bulls is fair. Anytime that you're not in the same stratosphere as like Boston or where Cleveland has been or where Golden State is, Houston, San Antonio, you know, some of the top teams in the NBA, you know, you can understand why you'd have a complaint as a fan, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to the draft, anything that the Bulls do now, people are going to take a shot. Now, I'm pretty optimistic about what the Bulls did at 7 because that was the best player available. That's not the player that they wanted, as we come to find out in the draft show last night. They didn't exactly want Wendell Carter. I think he just happened to be on the board.
Right. When both admit that they were trying to move up, Wendell Carter wasn't the guy they were moving up for.
No, let's not get it twisted. Let's make sure. If no one's heard this, hopefully we're breaking news at 7:20 here. Because
you heard it here first.
Right, like that's not what they wanted. They didn't want Wendell Carter, but they saw you had a choice. Do you want a guy with a bad medicals and Michael Porter Jr. that was sitting in the green room the whole time? Or do you want Wendell Carter Jr., someone that you scouted and that was along the same lines and the same prototype of some of the other bigs in the top six of the draft?
So who do you think they wanted? Top four. See, because
let's just cross off the names, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely not Trae Young. They didn't want Trae Young.
You sure?
No, come on now. Give him some credit.
Come on. Well, I hope they didn't.
No, they didn't want Trae Young.
All right.
Let's I'm gonna cross off Trae Young. The Bulls didn't want. So the process of elimination.
Okay, maybe things aren't as bad as I thought they were.
Okay, so process of elimination. They didn't want Trae Young, right, Chris? Okay, so Jaren Jackson Jr., connections with Michigan State from the Drew Valentine days.
Mm. Tom Izzo, friend of the program.
Right.
I could see that.
Doncic from Slovenia.
Well, you know, they have a great European scouting staff. We've been told that for the last couple of weeks, right?
Last 30 years we've been hearing that.
So I would assume they would have liked Doncic, no?
Yes.
Okay.
You mean the best player in the draft?
That, in my eyes, yeah. I think he is. And I think what the Mavericks did at five is a complete steal. We're going to look back on that trade as one of the all-time trades in NBA history.
Do you want to really like break the fourth wall with this draft?
Go ahead. Yeah.
You really want to do that?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. This is kind of like a four-player draft in the first round.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if Wendell Carter is part of that. I don't know if that's the case. Let me make sure it's very clear. This is not a bust pick.
No.
Because I know people will consider Wendell Carter a bust just because he went to Duke. The just thing is, Duke's soft, and so he won't be able to play. That's not the case. Carter could not get the numbers that Bagley had because Bagley was the alpha dog on that team. So, but Carter was very effective as well at Duke. So I think that that's why I thought it was a good pick for the Bulls. That was the best player available. But really, in the 3 years when we talk about this, we'll say, oh, there's like one guy in the middle. Like I told you, I'm big on Alexander.
Sure.
Gilgeous Alexander from Kentucky. And a couple guys at the top. And then, you know, that'll be the draft for 2018.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. We're talking about the Chicago Bulls. Are you happy with the rebuild to this point? Let's go to Scott and Wheaton. Scott, what do you think?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Scotty. I'm a little concerned about the rebuild. It's not that they're headed in a terrible direction. The problem is you're not building it with what probably has high-end ceiling talent. So Lauri Markkanen's our guy that we know, hey, he might be a star. I have no problem with Wendell Carter Jr. He was the best player available, as you guys said. The problem is he has a certain ceiling, and we're building a Bulls team that we've seen before when we went with Heinrich and Deng. And I know Gordon was a little bit higher of a pick, but you're building a team right now with a guy like Dunn and Levine especially, who also have certain ceilings, I would say. It's a team that you don't think is going to be able to compete with Philly and Boston in the future. That's what concerns me. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call, Scott.
Well, I mean, again, you did not fully tank to be able to get to where Philadelphia is, because that was a process to be able to go through almost 300 wins, 300 losses to be able to get to this point if you're Philadelphia.
Why are we doing this? You know what I mean? Like,
because it's a draft special.
Like, no, a year ago we were told there was a rebuild, and then we had to go through an entire year where like we had to fight this non-tank tanking thing, and then you get the player and it's like, yeah, okay. Like last year in my head, I was like, wow, we're going to get a top three pick. How awesome is this going to be? You know what I mean? if you take a second to just pause and think about it, it's like, wow, they really did that.
Baby, it's prom night. You said tonight was the night.
No, not tonight.
That's the Bulls.
That's Jonathan.
It was supposed to happen, and it never happened.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. We'll take more of your calls about the Chicago Bulls. 312-332-3776. Are you happy about the rebuild to this point?
Rebuild? No, I have a headache tonight.
Just almost there. We'll be back.
Second base.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Bleck and Jonathan Hood tonight, Under the Hood with you till 9 o'clock. Let's go down to Cincinnati for a live report from Jesse Rogers.
All right, guys. Cubs lead 3-1 as the Reds bat in the bottom of the fifth. This game changed on a bunt by Javi Baez. Who else would attempt that with two outs and a man on third? That was in the fourth inning. Ben Zobrist had a double, the first hit of the game. He got the third on an Anthony Rizzo ground out. And with two outs, Baez lays down a perfect bunt down to third base. Beats it out one pitch later. Kyle Schwarber with his 15th home run. He goes deep to left center. So the Cubs erased that 1-0 deficit quickly. Meanwhile, Jose Quintana has settled down. He gave up a run in the second inning, but then struck out Joey Votto looking with the bases loaded. Then he set down the Reds in order both in the third and fourth inning. So that is looking like a huge strikeout on Votto. Cubs up 3-1, bottom five. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Jesse. We'll hear from Jesse at 8:30 with another update from Cincinnati. I'm Chris Bleck along with Jonathan Hood here till 9 o'clock talking NBA with you. More specifically, talking about the Chicago Bulls. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. The question on the table is, are you happy with the rebuild to this point in time? It's been over a year now. We're a year and a day to the start of the rebuild, trading away Jimmy Butler, acquiring the pieces, Markkanen, Levine, Dunn. You have two draft picks last night. Are you happy with what the Bulls have acquired in 1 year's time span?
I think that when I look at this Bulls draft, when we continue to hear the phrase safe, I'd rather have someone that's safe than someone that sucks. And I think that Carter is going to be a fine piece for them. That was the best player available on their depth chart. And so that's exactly what they did. The thing is that it's not necessarily a rebuild when you don't get rid of the Jerian Grants and the Cameron Paynes and the, you know, Nwaba at the end and Denzel Val. I mean, you got to be able to start moving guys to have a full rebuild. I mean, there are plenty of teams that are mismanaged in which you can find the blueprint of really how to unplug an organization.
You're telling me that Dance Dance Revolution Payne, Cameron Payne, isn't going to be a part of this rebuild going forward?
He better not be. Especially after last season when Pax was just wide open with it. Just like, yeah, you know, this guy wasn't even an NBA player. Cross him off then.
Let's go to Marcus on the west side. Marcus, what do you think about the rebuild to this point?
Good evening, guys. I really don't know how I feel about the rebuild to this point. I feel like we're about to see a rerun of the try-hard Bulls. You know, like it's Garn Pax, they are always going to be stagnant. They are not creative enough to make a trade. They're getting Wendell Carter. I like Wendell Carter, but in today's NBA, I'm not sure just how he fits. Maybe he'll be able to put the ball on the court. But in today's NBA, I would like all five of my guys on the floor to be able to put the ball on the court, pass it, and be able to connect from deep or be able to create their own shot. Michael Porter Jr., I understand that his back, or at least the medicals, were scaring some teams off. If we're rebuilding and we're really trying to tear this thing down, if the back wasn't that bad, I would have been okay with them picking him up and redshirting him for the year and making sure that his back would be okay going forward. Nuggets might have got
steal. You trust the Bulls with medicals after the Derrick Rose and Luol Deng almost died on the Bulls' watch? Seriously?
Well, with Luol Deng, that was Thibodeau driving his guys into the ground, you know what I mean?
Not a spinal tap, man. It wasn't that bad. He didn't have
Thibodeau. Didn't have anything to do with that.
No, that didn't happen, Marcus.
I feel bad for Fred Hoiberg, though, because I don't see how Wendell Carter fits into this system that he's trying to do. It's supposed to be a wide-open system. Chris Dunn really isn't the shooter. You got Denzel Valentine. What is he really? I mean, I just don't trust him to be able to get creative and get aggressive enough to make a trade and get a superstar in here, you know?
I hear what you're saying, Marcus. We appreciate the phone call. I think that there's two schools of thought when it comes to the Bulls, and I think we all know it. You have to either, one, be able to be creative to be able to make a trade, two, build through the draft, because if you're looking for an A-list free agent, it's just not happening.
Marco in North Riverside, what do you think about the rebuild till this point?
I like the rebuild because we're not in panic mode. And if you look at the East, you have the number one seed Toronto that fired their coach. You have
Marco
Polo.
You have LeBron leaving Cleveland, maybe. So there's a lot of things going on around a team like the Bulls that's finding their core and might have underperformed on purpose last season. So you have to have a positive outlook on what's going on for the Bulls.
All right, my friend. We appreciate the telephone call. I don't know what he was talking about, but I just like our swimming pool deal there.
That was fun.
He went away.
Yeah, I know. He did. Yes. We filled the gap, right?
Marco.
Polo. Let's go to Chuck in Las Vegas listening on the ESPN app. Chuck, what do you think about the rebuild for the Bulls?
Hey, fellas, I'm going to make this quick, man. I know you're busy tonight, man. Look, I know that was a safe pick with Wendell Carter Jr., but it's like, yeah, Michael Porter Jr., you didn't want to take the risk, so I understood that. You definitely had to get someone that could fit that fold within, like, the centers and the forwards in the NBA. So it's like I think he can play with Mark in the next. But it definitely depends on Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. They got to develop. So, I mean, Fred, you know, I hate to say it. I love Fred, man. But it's like, hey, he's put to the test hard now. He really is now. You got to develop these players, man. Like, you know, I'm sad to say, but I don't believe in Denzel Valentine. I wish they could trade him for, like, you know, second round pick 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that was a waste. It's like, you know, he may get solid minutes, but they really need to pursue Wilson Chandler. Put Wilson Chandler with Hutchinson. That's the smart forwards. Roll with that. I know that's easier said than done because the free agency, they've had a lot of bad luck. But, hey, DePaul, I mean, like the Nuggets, like, I mean, they look, they drafted Michael Porter Jr. Like, hey, they're going to take a chance to develop him. It's like Chandler, I'm sure you want to get to the playoffs. You need a player like that on the team where it's like, hey, he's solidified. He's going to score points. They had trouble scoring so many times.
All right, thank you for your call, Chuck. I think the one thing that you have to look at with Fred Hoiberg is he's gone quite a bit of time with the Chicago Bulls now coaching, mm-hmm. where we haven't really been critical of the day-to-day decisions in-game. His first season, we all had the microscope on what he was doing at the end of games, using timeouts, using the rotations, and all of this stuff, right?
Right.
Last season, they were not supposed to be good, so very few in the city actually paid attention to what he was doing in game situations, trying to have a specific outcome and trying to figure out whether or not he's improving as a head coach. We're going to be all over that again this year because from what we've all heard is that if this thing isn't turned around by February, Hoiberg could be out of here, well, which is fascinating for a team that's in a rebuild when it doesn't seem like it should matter next year, but then it comes back to the fact that this team's gonna try and make the playoffs next year. See, like that's what it is.
See, now we're having two different topics, but this is what we're talking about with the Bulls, though. If John Paxson, we'll hear from John Paxson in our 8 o'clock hour. If John Paxson says, no, whoa, that thing, we're not going for the playoffs, but then you're trying to evaluate Fred Hoiberg at the same time. If the Bulls underachieve, are you trying to fire Fred Hoiberg, even though you don't want to make the playoffs? You can't do both. You can't say, well, what's your goal for 2018-19? Well, we want to grow and get better as a team. Okay. So what if that team underachieves and is not one of the top eight teams in the East? Does that mean that Hoiberg should be fired because Wendell Carter Jr. did not develop in what, 4 months, 5 months? See, you got to figure out what the direction is. Like for me, the team, besides the coaching staff, the team looks like a playoff team if healthy, if you don't tamper with it.
Right.
But that's not what Pax wants. Gar is like, yeah, sure, playoffs are good.
Well, so what's the lie there? Is the lie that Hoiberg doesn't have as much time as his contract says, or is the lie that they don't really want to make the playoffs?
We have to determine what the last year of Fred Hoiberg's contract is. Is it a team option or is it his option? That's the thing we don't know. I don't know the legalese of the last year of his deal. And that's the thing that I think is puzzling to everyone, because John Paxson would like to have another coach, I'm sure, in place. He'd like to have someone that he has in mind. This is Gar's choice now. And because John has more of a voice, again, in the organization, I'm sure that he'd like to have someone that he'd like as a head coach for the future.
Do you think Fred would maybe want to be somewhere else, doing something else?
If he got paid the same money, yes, in college.
Right.
So he can really mold and shape young players. I mean, think about when he came into the league, Chris, as someone that was trying to manage and coach veteran players, where that dog wouldn't hunt, where you had players that would not listen to what he had to say. I mean, that's a veteran NBA player, and Fred's trying to talk to him as men, and it's like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. Ask Jimmy Butler what their relationship was like.
It was not good.
Okay. So, I mean, you know.
312-332-3776. Jonathan Hood, Chris Black talking with you till 9 o'clock. The topic on the table, are you happy with the rebuild to this point for the Chicago Bulls? Let's go to Chris in Schaumburg. Chris, what do you think?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Hello,
good.
Chris.
How are you?
You're good. I like the rebuild, but I feel like we need to establish that Lauri Markkanen is our best player and everybody else needs to go. Even Levine, Dunn, I mean, they're all good role players, but I can't look at any of them and really say they're going to be all-stars. I mean, honestly, other than him. He's the only one that's, like, to me, blossoming. You know, Levine looks like he's going to be injury-prone. Obviously, I mean, I know they're
now,
kind
Chris,
of afraid
Chris,
to put him on
Chris,
the court.
Chris, let me ask
but,
you something. Yeah. You yeah. can't have 12 all-stars on your team. You got to build a team with some players who are not all-stars. So none well, of these guys are pieces that you can use to move towards the future?
I mean, I'm not. Now that might be true. Now I don't know if I would pay Levine the max depending on what he's going to get offered. But, for example, like in the draft, I'm happy with Wendell Carter, but I would have took Sexton because I think he's, you know, a guy that could penetrate and just be a good point guard and score and help us. And Dunn maybe could have slid into, like, the backup role, and I feel like more so where he should be anyway. So, like, I mean, a role like that would have made sense, but, I mean, obviously you have to have a deep team. It just, I don't know if I would dish out the money to keep Levine when I don't think he's really going to end up being an all-star, you know? I mean, I know you have to pay people anyway, but that's all. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call, Chris. We appreciate it, man.
But if you went guard in that situation, whether it's Trae Young or whether it is Colin Sexton, that's not where the league is going. Unless you already have that guy that's long and athletic, and so you need a guard to complement him, you really don't need that guy. Because what the Bulls want to do is, for once, the Bulls are trying to go with the trend.
Right.
The Ayton, Bagley, Doncic, Jaren Jackson trend. Long and athletic, put the ball on the floor, strong defensively, and an interchangeable part-type player. That's what they tried to do.
Can I paint a nightmare scenario for a Bulls fan? 5 years from now, if Colin Sexton is a legit all-star and Wendell Carter's just so-so, fighting for minutes, kind of like Bobby Portis is doing for the Bulls right now, and the fact that LeBron could have left, but then say he ups back in, right, and he's still with Cleveland in 5 years, mm-hmm, playing out the end of his career because he has this great point guard next to him in Colin Sexton, that's the worst-case scenario for the Bulls, right? Like, that's the absolute worst. You tried to do the rebuild, yet the team picking behind you, who had the greatest player of your generation, still got the better pick. That would be the worst case scenario, right?
No question. No question.
That's a nightmare. Let's go to Michael in Wheeling. Michael, what do you think about the rebuild right now?
What I think about it, all I can tell you is that, first of all, I got to tell you, the best basketball talk is right here, so that's why I have to call in.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
The most important point is that if they're going to do tanking, they need to look up the word in the dictionary, because I think they failed at that, because I don't think Gar and Pax and Fred were on the same page. And maybe they were afraid of the NBA and talk about other teams tanking, because so they end up with the seventh pick. We have to live with that pick. I've been watching the Bulls for a long time, even watched Scottie Pippen being brought in and all those other players. You know, you get what you get, and they develop how they develop. So I'm 100% behind the pick, but I just think that if they would have defined what it was that they were doing in regarding the tanking, you know, then I think we would have been in a better position. We might have had a second pick.
Appreciate the call, Michael. And, you know, it's a great viewpoint.
Well, look, Pax said what they were going to do last year. You do recall this. You were around for this, right? Like, he said that they wanted to – they didn't use the word tank. But clearly, after the trade of Jimmy Butler, they want to do what Atlanta did. They want to do with a number of teams that were just hitting a ceiling want to do. They want to be able to reset. But you didn't do it all the way. That's the thing. Listen, as much as I don't like that, I understand why you want to do it, because you need to be able to figure out, okay, we have all these veteran players and we just continue to hit the ceiling. And actually, what it comes down to is that it's just too much LeBron. That's the problem. Like, LeBron has dominated the East, so you couldn't break through. That's what it really comes down to. So if you're going to do it right.
Why didn't they stick to it, though? If they had a plan, why did it change?
Why didn't they add on with Rose and
If they told us last year that they were going to do the rebuild, like we heard and what we all assumed was going to happen, why did halfway through this start of the season, did it take a different direction? I get that the players started playing better, but you can artificially suppress some of that. Yep. And for some reason, 3-20 scared the bejesus out of somebody, and they were worried about butts and seats at the United Center. Mm-hmm. And something changed. You can't argue. Like, I don't care what they say. Something changed because the way the season was going, the way the play on the court completely changed as well.
Right. Well, I think,
why? Why did that change? What was it? The pressure from ownership?
I don't think they like no shows.
They lead the league in attendance.
I understand, but they still don't like no shows. They don't like that. And, you know, from Pax's standpoint, he didn't want to be a team that's just, you know, first round and out. But the thing is that if you want to be that team that's flat ass, you know, bad in the NBA, then you've got to trade Lopez. You got to make more, pick up the phone and make more deals to make sure, to assure that you're going to be in the top three in the lottery.
Yeah, that's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. We will continue to take your calls on the Chicago Bulls and the NBA draft coming up in about 15 minutes. We will hear from John Paxson and Gar Foreman. And also at 8:30, we have Tales from the Hood. Since Jonathan is here hanging out on a Friday night, this is a special, I heard the start of the show, this is a special presentation of Under the Hood. That's what I heard at the start of this show. So we will get Tales from the Hood at 8:30. That's all coming up right here on ESPN 1000.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Bleck and Jonathan Hood here on Under the Hood. This hour brought to you by Country Thunder, the premier four-day country festival happening July 19th through the 22nd in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. Go to countrythunder.com now to buy your tickets. Jonathan, did you happen to see Mo Bamba be introduced by the Orlando Magic earlier today? He was selected by the Magic last night. They had the press conference today. Mo Bamba, selected fifth overall. Do you know what number jersey he held up at the press conference today?
No, I didn't see it.
Are you familiar with a song from back in the day?
A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man.
From Lou Bega, Mambo number 5?
Yeah.
Mambo number 5.
His number is 5.
For a big guy.
Yes. So it will be Mo Bamba 5.
Mambo number 5.
Oh. I can understand if he was a baseball player with that nonsense.
Mambo number 5.
Oh, I get it. Mambo number 5. No.
Seriously, Mo Bamba number 5.
Okay. There's a guy that's going to really struggle to get dates.
Oh. We'll hear from John Paxson and Gar Foreman coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
That's terrible.